everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering and producing the show. And Tom, it looks like we may be getting rain back in the forecast. I thought the monsoon 2021 was gone in the rearview mirror, and not so, I guess.
Well, we're still trying to become at least the second most wettest.
An inch away for the second wettest monsoon. But anyway, I'll take number three after the year we had last year. Anyway, we've got a very busy hour today talking about Tucson Air Service. How do we get more nonstop service out of Tucson International? Then at 12:30, the mayor will be with us. Mayor Regina Romero will be with me in studio. It is the midweek edition of Buckmaster. It also is the first day of autumn. It's the 22nd of September 2021. We are quickly approaching 11 full years here on the radio and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station is KVOI, K-Voice, 1030 Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's talk now with the Senior Director of Air Service Development and Marketing at the Tucson Airport Authority. Dave Hatfield joins me in studio for our quarterly Tucson Air Service Report. Dave, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thank you. How are you?
Doing real well. Sunday, I put out on my Facebook page, and I've got quite a few followers that kind of follow the show, and I put out the news that we would be meeting today, and I would like to hear, and you would like to hear, from our Facebook friends about where they would like to see some new nonstop air service. And we had a tremendous response. 6 pages of suggestions. And, Dave, I know you went over the list, and there's some familiar places there and some maybe not so familiar. Overall, how do we get better service out of Tucson?
Well, what I'm hoping will happen, and perhaps even in this discussion today, is that we get some kind of indication of where people will support air service. I think there's a little bit of a misconception that the airlines are like SunTran. SunTran is a service that the city provides throughout the community, and it may or may not make money. I don't think transit systems make money in general. The airline industry, however, is a money-making thing, and we need to show that we will support a flight. I mean, we've worked very hard in the past on new flights. We had one to New York for a while.
I went to Newark. One of my Facebook friends said there was a flight to Newark. There was a flight to Charlotte.
Yes.
Yes. But they just didn't fulfill the expectations.
One of the struggles is, now Charlotte's a good example. The last flight to New York is an example of not support. We had the flight. People just, I mean, literally, one of the challenges is the New York flight, the competitors, we had a nonstop to New York, and the competitors said, okay, we're going to fight this because we want to keep the passengers on our flight. So, United in particular, our flight was on American, and the United came up with a fare sale and said, okay, if you guys from between Tucson and New York would be willing to change planes in Chicago, and mind you, this is wintertime when this was happening.
Right.
If you change planes in Chicago, we're going to sell you a ticket for less than American's going to sell you the nonstop. Well, Tucson being Tucson, that's what people did. And American just couldn't compete because it costs a lot of money to fly an airplane for 4.5 hours to mm-hmm, New York. Mm-hmm. And they just weren't making money, so they left.
So that was a case of price point.
Well, it was a case of price point and non-support.
Okay.
By the way, the average price point was $19
way. $19.
That still flabbergasts me.
Yeah.
We still hold the record for having the narrowest price point to lose a flight.
Oh,
but anyway.
My goodness.
Charlotte's a different example, and I knock on wood, would like to see that come back because I think we still have a good argument. Mm-hmm. American acknowledges it's a hub. Charlotte's a hub for them. The flight was working, interestingly enough, eastbound because it left here about midnight, a little bit before midnight, and you arrived in Charlotte at 7 in the morning. And then it turned around and came back to Tucson. So it left Charlotte about 8 or 9 in the morning. The problem with that is that the flight to Tucson, nobody was taking because
right.
nobody got to Charlotte in time to get on the plane.
Yeah, but everybody was taking it the other way because
right.
it would be great for the hub if you're going to the Caribbean, if you're going to Europe, whatever.
Right.
You're there ready to start the day. But
right.
the other way...
it didn't work. And I finally convinced them to try... it and we got the way they finally worked it out is we got in what they call the last bank of the night. It left Charlotte at 9 o'clock at night. So people, you could literally, you know, at the time our Congress representative could get on a plane in D.C. at 7 o'clock at night, mm-hmm. go down to Charlotte, connect, and be in Tucson by midnight.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great.
Yeah.
And it was working, but they had already made the decision that they needed to move the aircraft. So they did. I think knock on wood, if we could ever lose this COVID situation,
mm-hmm.
we could get the Charlotte flight back.
All right, let's go interactive here with some of our Facebook friends. Jody wants nonstop to Oakland, and I think we're able to take care of her, right?
Yes, we are. January 17th, nonstop flights to Oakland return permanently. There will be some extra ones during the holidays, so it is coming back January 17th, Mondays through Saturdays.
Here's one that kept coming up, and I agree with these people because I missed that Southwest flight over to Albuquerque because I like to go up to Santa Fe, as do a lot of Southern Arizonans. That was a tough one. We lost that service Southwest to Albuquerque.
Right. That is probably the most difficult challenge we have right now. The reason it was there in the first place, in fact, I think they flew it twice a day, was, and it just shows you how things are interchangeable, but when they built the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, mm-hmm. I hate to take you back this far, but mm-hmm. There was an amendment called the Wright. Jim Wright was a senator from, I think it was a representative from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and they made a rule, a federal law, that said no, that any airline flying from the Dallas metro area had to fly from Dallas-Fort Worth. But if any airline wanted to stay at Love Field, you could only fly within the state of Texas or to a state adjacent to Texas.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So at the time, Southwest is a brand new airline, and their business model was doing fast flights to Houston, San Antonio, and Dallas. And they thought, fine. I mean, Dallas is closer. We're at Houston Hobby. That's closer. So it works for us. We have no problem with it. Well, all of us, you know, after several years, Southwest is the large airline that it is now. And, they lobbied to get the rule lifted. But while the rule was in effect, the only way they could get people from L.A., Phoenix, Las Vegas, was to fly them to a state adjacent to Texas and then fly them into Texas.
Okay.
So Albuquerque's in New Mexico. New mm-hmm. Mexico's adjacent. So Albuquerque was a huge a transfer point mm-hmm. so that people from all these places could get there and go. And it worked very well. I mean, but as soon as the Wright Amendment was lifted mm-hmm. and it was phased in, Southwest said, well, we don't need to use Albuquerque in that fashion anymore. So a lot of places lost flights. We got down to basically towards the end, I think the calculation is that we're doing about 77 passengers a day between here and Albuquerque, which is still solid, but it's not the biggest moneymaker they had. And eventually it just dwindled away and they pulled. We are still working on it. It's going to take probably an airline flying a slightly smaller aircraft. The other problem with, or the other challenge is, the traffic going to and from Albuquerque doesn't do it infrequently. They do it mm-hmm. frequently, and it's sort of like a business group. So we need daily service or close to it. We can't be – some of these airlines now like to fly two times a week, and I don't think that will work for Albuquerque.
All right, Dave Hatfield with us from – he is the Senior Director of Air Service Development and Marketing. The time going very quickly, Dave. We were already closing out our first segment. When we come back, we will talk about new and returning routes, and we'll go back to some of these suggestions that people had on my Facebook page. But right now, Dave, I want to talk about my favorite bakery. Dave, do you like bakery goods?
And I know the place you're talking about.
And it is. It's Mona's Danish Bakery,
sir.
Home of the Danish Kringle. And what do you prefer? Would you want a croissant, a pastry of some kind? What are your preferences?
Actually, every time I've gone in there, they've been out of the croissants. But I will tell you my favorite.
They sell out quickly.
Is the chocolate Kringle.
Chocolate Kringle. Wow, there you go. That Danish pastry that's light and tasty, multi-layered pastry that comes in a variety of flavors. They're open right now for lunch. They open each morning about 6:30 for breakfast. Mona'sDanishBakery.com. And, of course, you can stop in right now at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. More about Tucson Air Service right after this.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The time is just flying by with Dave Hatfield, Senior Director of Air Service Development and Marketing. It is our quarterly Tucson Air Service Report. And a couple of quick things before we get back to the nonstops and flights that the airport is working on. There's been some changes in the business, to say the least. Most fares now, Dave Hatfield, are changeable. You've got a pilot shortage that has resurfaced and has caused some problems and delays. And you've got airlines doing more scheduling kind of by the day of the week.
Yes, exactly. And in fact, I think this is a time to, for people who are thinking of traveling during the holidays, start thinking about it seriously, mm-hmm. because I think we're going to have fairly good service right around Thanksgiving and the end of the December holidays. But early in those 2 months, because they just don't have the pilots, they don't have the crews, the flights will be a little bit less. And it is a challenge. Airlines are trying to meet it. They're trying, you know, they've had scheduling issues and everything else, but it's a different world out there.
In the 18 months since COVID first appeared on the scene, some airports across the country really struggled. How mm-hmm. did we do overall, Dave?
We did better than most. Frankly, during the summertime, we got hit with a misconception, it's not the misconception, but the perception is nobody wants to go to Tucson in the summertime, and we get that. However, we didn't get the service we deserved, I believe, because there are a million people that live here and want to get out of here in the summertime.
Right, right.
So our flights were packed during the
like
summer.
Like up to places that are cool, like
yes,
Seattle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In fact, over the summer, we set a record for our service to Seattle. And other flights, I'm sure anybody that flew out of Tucson this summer saw the planes. On average, there were days when we averaged in excess of 97% of our seats filled.
Wow.
And you know, that means that they were oversold, and it was, so we did better than most. But we're still not quite there. I will say that during the last 2 weeks of December, looking at the schedules, we will probably be better than we were in 2019. Right now, the airlines have scheduled pretty aggressively for Tucson over the winter holidays.
When we're talking about Seattle, we've got three flights, two
right.
on Alaska, one on Delta, which
right.
so you can get up to Seattle now, and there's some competition.
Right.
Everett, Washington, north of Seattle, is back in play in November?
In November 9th.
Nonstop Tucson to Everett.
Right. And if people who know the area up there, mm-hmm. Especially the north side of Seattle, it's a great airport. And I'm tempted to go just to see the terminal because it's a privately built terminal,
mm-hmm.
And it's gorgeous. And it's they've got fireplaces in the waiting
wow.
rooms and table.
I'll bring some marshmallows.
Yeah, table service in the terminal and everything.
So. All right. So we also November we'll see the return of nonstop flights to Indianapolis. That's good news.
Yes.
And up to Portland.
Right.
Minneapolis is in play again.
Yes, Minneapolis returns in December 9th on Sun Country. We will not have the Delta flights this year. Delta, because of the pilot shortage, is not flying additional flights out of Minneapolis, so we are among the cities that will lose that. But Sun Country will be here, and that's still an option.
All right, getting back to the Buckmaster Facebook friends, six pages of folks. Thank you to all of you who weighed in. I put out the word that Dave Hatfield would be with us. I would like to hear from friends, and I heard from them. They said places that they would like to see some nonstop service. Boston came up, Dave.
Boston would be a good one if we could, if we had somebody like JetBlue that would fly the route. It's probably a little bit of a stretch, particularly right now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Raytheon's headquarters is there, so right. We would look for support from them.
Kansas City, we had nonstop service to Kansas City and did very well at one
yes,
point.
We did. ExpressJet was there about 2007, so it was a while. But, Kansas City actually does very well for us, and we'd love to get a nonstop there.
Sacramento came up, as did Burbank and other places in mm-hmm. California. Right now, of course, we are limited to San Diego service and LAX.
Right. And then we have San Francisco on United. So those are cities we'd love to get. In fact, I believe Sacramento is our single busiest unserved route not going to the East Coast. The East Coast has more busy unserved routes, but Sacramento is high on our list. We'd love to get some more service into the LA basin to airports other than LAX, so we're working on that as well.
How do you chart that? I guess you see someone checking in Tucson for
right.
Sacramento because they're changing usually in Phoenix.
Right. What we can do is we get access to tickets in our market area, and the airline reporting system will tell us that if you live in our marketing area, where you're going, and we can track how many people are going up to Phoenix, how many people connect to go to where they need to go, or in the case of LA, fly into LAX, but go over to some other place in LA.
Also on Facebook, the Southeast came up. How are we doing with Atlanta?
Atlanta works because it's a Delta hub. It's not in of itself very strong. Interestingly enough, the number one Florida destination when Southwest put in its nonstop to Houston, the number one connecting point between Tucson and the Southeast is Orlando, Florida. So there is demand for that, and perhaps we can use that in our arguments with the airlines to try to get service there.
And of course Miami, but that's mm-hmm. a tough one. Tucsonans love Miami. And Tampa, to a certain extent, there are the wonderful cruise connections
mm-hmm.
there.
Yeah. when we get to the East Coast, it's a little bit different thing because you're talking to an airline and asking an airline to commit to 9 hours of flying a plane across the country, and they want to make darn sure if they're going to commit to that amount of time flying a plane that it's full. So, because it's expensive, you got to cruise and fuel and all that sort of thing. So, it gets to be an expensive proposition, and they want to be very, very, very certain that they're going to make money on a flight before they go cross country.
All right, Dave Hatfield, Hermosillo, Mexico keeps coming up among my listeners. They want to see nonstop service
right.
there. Right now they have to connect up in Phoenix and then for the nonstop to Hermosillo. They'd love to see that. And of course, Hermosillo was one of the, Aeromexico is one of the original players making Tucson an international airport
exactly.
back in the day.
You're right. And, right at the moment, we're blocked from it because no new service can go into Mexico because there's an FAA, thing going on. But, the problem with Mexico is people want to go to Mexico. We have a lot of traffic going to Mexico. We need to find where there's the critical mass and where they can make the connections. Unfortunately, Hermosillo has lost a lot of its connections. We came so close to getting a nonstop flight to Mexico City, which would work. Mm-hmm. You're doing a little bit of backtracking, but you could go to Mexico City and then come back to Monterrey and some of these other cities, and it would have worked. We actually came within 2 weeks of getting approval from their board of directors, or at least there was a recommendation for approval from their board of directors. And that was about the time it was pre-COVID, so I think it was political at the time. We were having some issues between our two governments, and the recommendation was to start service to Tucson. It wasn't going to be daily, but it'd be 3 or 4 times a week to Mexico City. It's going to be nighttime flights. they had their board meeting, and at the board meeting, they decided to pull out of a whole lot of American cities and fly to Canada instead. It was political, and so it's going to take a lot of work to get that one back.
Yeah, one that didn't come up on my survey, but I would like to see it, would be Calgary, Tucson, so people don't have to go up to Phoenix to go up to the Banff and Lake Louise.
Just as important as any flight we get to Mexico is going to be a flight to Canada.
You bet.
We are working very hard with that. We work with the Canadian
WestJet.
We're working with other airlines. Okay. WestJet is one we've talked to. We've actually had some good success with Air Canada.
Okay.
We work with the Canadian Glenn Williamson's group. That's actually strong. We have some interest we think we can pursue, and we just need to keep working. It's a tough sales thing, but it's possible, and we're just the right market for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, when they want to come down here in the wintertime, they love to play golf.
Yeah.
We are a golf destination. We are not an expensive destination as sun destinations go. So we're working very, very hard. It's one of our highest priorities.
All right, Dave Hatfield, what about directing our listeners to the website?
FlyTucson.com? Yes, please.
And what will they find at FlyTucson.com?
Hopefully everything you need to know, and in fact, including, if you haven't flown lately, we keep up-to-date pages there with questions and answers, the latest information on routes, anything you need to know if you're unsure of things. We have vaccines available in the airport terminal on Mondays and Fridays right now. You can get a free COVID test. In fact, if you want the vaccine, we have all three.
Wow.
And it's no appointment necessary.
All right. Dave Hatfield, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Rahina Romero, the mayor of Tucson, is next on Buckmaster. Be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Very busy day. We always try to put as much content in our 55 minutes as possible. We are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. You know, the weather has been so great. The mornings now, I want to get out in the garden and plant some great color for the fall season. Where do you go? Well, my favorite place for everything green, Green Things, 3384 East River Road, by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Their website, greenthingsaz.com. They're open daily. They've got that 13 acres with everything you can imagine for your garden. They also have Zocalo Village, some of that merchandise, beautifully handcrafted tables out of mesquite from Mexico. Some of the mesquite work's done right here in Tucson. So check that out as well, ZocaloVillage.com. With me in studio, the mayor of the city of Tucson, Regina Romero, is with us. First of all, happy birthday, Mayor.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I really appreciate
it. You had a nice day. Monday was your birthday.
I took the day off.
Yeah.
And I thought it was appropriate on my birthday to thank my mother for bringing me to this earth.
So I took her out to lunch. I think she would be right at the top of the list. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I did that. I've gotten into the habit of doing that. I used to take my dad with mom because it both of them, you know, played a role in having me, but dad passed away 5 years ago. But it's been a beautiful birthday week.
Good.
I do take more than one day to celebrate my life and my being so lucky to be in such a wonderful, beautiful community and having such amazing friends and family and children. And so it's every day is a blessing, and I'm very happy that that I've had the opportunity to celebrate my birthday with the entire community.
I was just reflecting on your term as mayor. My goodness, we're at the 18-month mark of COVID when it really, when things really went south 18 months ago. Really, the anniversary was last week, kind of mid-September. But when you think about it, you had pretty much just started your term.
Yes, I did.
As mayor.
Yes.
So, you know, you really only had kind of a pre-COVID
a couple of months.
And you think about all that's happened, and one of the strong stands the city has taken is if you're going to be an employee of the city of Tucson, you will be vaccinated.
Yes, absolutely. And my colleagues on the council and I believe that we're in a different position that we were a year ago, that there is a vaccine that has been proven to be effective and that is now FDA approved. And there is no reason for our public servants, the workers of the city of Tucson, to not get their vaccine. And we do have exemptions for medical and religious exemptions, but we are looking at how to proceed with those that have exemptions, that have claimed exemptions. The direction to the city manager was very clear from me and my colleagues on the council. We need to protect city workers. As an employer, we need to make sure that we're protecting our workers, but that we are also protecting the residents of our community, especially those that are at the front lines and have to deal with residents. So,
and most people now have been vaccinated in the city,
yes,
right?
Well, you know, I felt that it was very important that we come out very strong in requesting that our city workers be vaccinated. And in fact, we have 83% of our city workers that have reported that they've been vaccinated, and that that number moved up about 700 people from the time that we took our first action in August.
And we'll see what happens now, because the state has a law that says no mandated vaccines. I think that law takes effect next week, so we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, and there are a lot of lawsuits, you know, pending. There's a lot of lawsuits.
Let's say it's a bunch of moving parts.
It really is a bunch of moving parts.
And we could spend the rest of the half hour about that, but I've got a lot of a stack of stuff here for you. So let's get at that. Let's talk about water rates. The council had voted unanimously in the summer to impose a differential rate with a higher tiered cost based on water usage for customers in unincorporated areas. Now, Mr. Huckleberry, the Pima County Administrator, put out a memo just this morning to the members of the Board of Supervisors, basically saying, and it's a three-page memo, but in summary, the city, he says, cost of service study finds that an artificial 5% differential exists in certain areas of the unincorporated county through solely selecting factors that assist in making this case and ignoring factors that would potentially negate and even reverse the differential. Bottom line, Mayor, the county seems to be setting the table for legal action.
And it is very unfortunate that the county is essentially throwing a temper tantrum, because the results of the independent study do not support their position. And in fact, the study further justifies why differential water rates are needed. And the results of the study clearly show that it costs more to deliver water to customers living in unincorporated Pima County, anywhere from 5% to 26%. And so I have always maintained that this is a policy decision for mayor and council to take, not one based on cost of service. But mayor and council did go ahead and give direction for Tucson Water to do a third party independent cost of service. And by the way, in no way, shape, or form is the county going to know more than the third party group that we hired. It is Gilardi, Rothstein Group, and Raftilis. Mr. Rothstein contributed to the development of the American Water Works Association manual. He literally co-wrote the book called Principles of Water Rates, Fees, and Charges. And so because the county is has a particular opinion and a particular position, does not mean or justify that they call this independent group really, they should not be questioning what this independent group brought forward for us. And so it is unfortunate that the county is taking that position. But again, we are living in a different time. We are not living at a time where we were living back in 1971, which, by the way, the county continues saying that both the city and the county agreed to something back in the 1970s. We're living in an age of drought and climate change. As a matter of fact, water shortages are front and center on this decision. We know, we have all seen the studies and the reports that Lake Mead, the water in Lake Mead is declining. The Bureau of Reclamation just declared a tier one shortage in August. and we're expecting to declare a Tier 2 shortage as early as next year. The fact that unincorporated customers use considerably more water is also part of this decision.
Okay, so bottom line, you do not agree with Mr. Huckleberry saying the city cost of service study does not stand up to the scrutiny and provides no legitimate basis for a differential fee to be applied to unincorporated Pima County residents.
The county is throwing a temper tantrum based on their opinion and their position. Like I said, the group that did this third-party analysis, Gilardi, Rothstein Group, and Reftilis, Mr. Rothstein wrote the book for the American Water Works Association on the principles of water rates, fees, and charges. And by the way, the city of Tucson is not the only city in Arizona that charges differential rates. Actually, as a matter of fact, Tucson is an exemption to the rule. Tempe, Scottsdale, Yuma, Gilbert, all of these other cities have a differential water rate.
All right, we'll have more with Mayor Romero. But first, Mayor, I want to tell our listeners, I send so many of our listeners over to a beautiful area. I know you love New Mexico. We send so many of our listeners over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Perfect time of year over there right now.
Lovely, lovely, beautiful time in New Mexico.
It is 3-hour drive, that's about it, over to a beautiful area, and the rain has made that Gila National Wilderness look so good. So if you want to do some hiking, this would be a great weekend just to pile in the car or the truck and just get away. Check out southwestnewmexico.org. That's your starting place. There you will find all sorts of ideas of things to do and places to stay. Buckmaster continues with the mayor of the city of Tucson, Regina Romero, right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The mayor of the city of Tucson, Regina Romero, is with us celebrating her birthday in birthday week. And, well, you know, the birthday was Monday, but you can kind of celebrate all week.
Well, I started my birthday celebrations on Friday. Thank you
so
much, Bill.
There you go. All right. People in the city of Tucson will be deciding whether or not a $15 minimum wage is appropriate. That will be on the ballot. You've decided now how you're going to vote, and you publicized it today. What is the decision?
I have decided that I will be voting yes on Prop 206 for one simple reason. I've always believed that any full-time worker should be making a living wage, and that wage should support themselves and their families. That's why I've led the charge at the city of Tucson to pay our workers a $15 minimum wage. And it is something that I had to study. You know, I had to study the proposition because it has a lot of other language and requests being made of the city of Tucson in terms of enforcement. So I really took my time to study it, look at it, look at the details, and I have decided that as someone that deeply believes in paying people, individuals, a living wage, I will be supportive of this proposition. And I do invite, however, the Pima County Board of Supervisors to raise the minimum wage through ordinance, which they can, to $15 an hour countywide, to benefit workers and their families throughout the entire region. And so I just want to make sure that the city of Tucson and their our small businesses are playing on the same level as every other small business in this region.
The city does stand, if this passes, the state has said they'll play really hardball with the city, in effect threatening to take state shared revenue if the initiative passes.
I am not surprised. I'm disappointed, as I usually am, about the state elected officials. But I am not surprised that they're doing this. I believe that the city of Tucson will be joining Flagstaff with an amicus, because the state legislature and Governor Ducey are charging the city of Flagstaff for millions of dollars to pay for their state workers because Flagstaff chose to make their minimum wage $15 an hour. So we just will be joining an amicus with the city of Flagstaff to fight the state on this. And so, you know, I believe, and I've talked to so many different people on this and to inform my decision, small business owners see the writing on the wall. They see that $15 is coming. That was not, believe it or not, paying workers $15 a minimum wage was not really the biggest concern regarding the business community and how they stand. But it is the enforcement and all the other pieces of the initiative that they are concerned about. So I leave it up to the voters of the city of Tucson to do what they believe is right for our city. And I do pledge to work with my colleagues on the Pima County Board of Supervisors to do this region-wide and to bear the costs together to make sure that there's an enforcement piece, but also to make sure that it is that we are working with our small business community to make sure that they feel they are going to be treated fairly.
You did, when you were making your decision, you were with my colleague, Zach Yenzer, on his show, Tipping Point, and you did say that they're making a huge ask by creating a new department, creating a new bureaucracy, and even creating a new court for employees to bring cases. So it is, there was a lot, I'm sure, that went into your thought process on this before you came up with your decision today.
Yes, I did. I really did seek input and advice from many different people in our community, including small business owners, and others. And again, that's why I think that it would be much better if we act countywide versus just citywide. We can ensure consistency for businesses and workers throughout the region, including in unincorporated Pima County. It is worth noting that three of my colleagues on the Board of Supervisors have endorsed the initiative, so the votes should be there to pass an ordinance countywide.
You expect it will pass? Is that your gut feeling? Or?
I do, because every time that there is a question to the voters about paying living wages to workers, there is a yes. And that's and I trust the voters of the city of Tucson to do what is best for our community. And by the way, I believe, and there are studies that can prove it, that putting money in the pockets of working families is good for the economy. They turn around and spend in our local businesses and stimulate the economy. So putting money in the hands of workers is the right thing to do, and we will work on making the rest of the initiative work for our small businesses in the city of Tucson.
Only a couple of minutes left, and I do want to talk a little bit about Reed Park, which is one of our great sponsors and supporters here on the show, Reed Park Zoo. I'm hearing a settlement is coming, and very close.
Yes, and I'll tell you, I had to make the call when I did about putting a pause to just moving and blazing ahead
on the expansion,
with what was on the table for the expansion. After hundreds of hours of conversations with the community and stakeholders, I believe we are very, very close to putting on the table a new and improved option for the expansion of the zoo. That keeps green space, that keeps the duck pond, that keeps, you know, the Barnum Hill, and that expands, the Reed Park Zoo to add amazing new benefits for our children in the community.
So you think most people will be pleased with this settlement, which sounds like it's coming very quickly.
I do. It's coming soon, and after so much input, and I'm so happy that we took the time to get community input, to bring stakeholders to the table and come out with what I believe will be a win-win.
All right, Mayor Romero, enjoy the rest of your birthday week. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you for having me, Bill. I always love coming here.
Thank you very much, Mayor Regina Romero. And you are the, for a large city, you're the, are you the only?
The only Latina.
Only Latina as a mayor of a large
of
city.
The 50 largest city 50 in the United States.
There you go. All right. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of the mayor and Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the program on the other side of the glass, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Thank you very much. Dave Ramsey's very popular show about money is coming up after the Buckmaster Show. Back with you tomorrow. Our newsmaker interview will be Atalita Grijalva, who wears two hats. She's He's the chair of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board and also one of the five members of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Have a great afternoon, everybody.